Well, it's special offer time for fans of my show, HPM, right here. So check this out. Look, hey, when you look good, you feel great. It's cliche because it's true. And MeUndies, they understand this, and that's why they design underwear that makes you look and feel fantastic. So MeUndies, it's made from modal, okay? A fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. That's twice as soft as anything you're wearing right now under your britches or your skirt or whatever you wear over your underwear. That's your deal. None of my business. I digress. MeUndies has tons of colors and styles, and the only place to get matching pairs for men and women. How cool is that? You match your drawers with your chick. That's pretty cool. You know, you do that, Seth. You like doing that?
Oh, yeah. We have matching drawers. We have matching everything.
Yeah, you have matching. Oh, yeah. You wear MeUndies. I know that. Because you were wearing a stretch. Your band was getting stretched out. You jumped on the MeUndies bandwagon. No more. Right?
I'm in.
You're in. You're in like Flint.
I feel great right now. I feel great.
I hear you. You look great too, kid. But anyway.
Thanks, pal.
Plus, we all know that paying for shipping, that absolutely sucks, right? No one likes paying for shipping. MeUndies has removed that from the equation. All orders in the United States and Canada ship for free, guys. So that's pretty cool right there. MeUndies even has a money-back guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you get to keep it for free. You literally have nothing to lose. I mean, so here's the thing. I was talking about that special offer. This sweetens the deal right here. MeUndies is offering you, my listener, 20% off your first order at MeUndies.com/TAZ. That's MeUndies.com/Taz. Special offer just for you guys. Make sure you go to MeUndies.com/TAZ and get 20% off your first order. So, you know I hook you up. That's basically as simple as it goes. MeUndies, that's my boys, that's the crew. Get it done with them.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. We love this reaction show.
For the Celebrity Edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
All right, what's going on? Welcome to the Human Podcast Machine, and yes, have no fear. This is he, yes. This is he, Taz, and thank you for downloading and or subscribing to this edition of the show. Hope you guys are all doing really good. As you know, took me a few days. I've been thinking about it, wanted to see how things evolved about this whole Dana White thing and his comments, and, you know, we'll get into that in the show, and actually, on the second end of this particular show, I'm going to have a special guest on from PW Insider, Mike Johnson. I want to get Mike's thoughts and opinions about what Dana White said because, you know, Mike never wrestled, but he is an expert in, he's a reporter, and he's covered the business for so many years at a high level, highest level. And he has a very, at PW Insider himself and Dave Shearer, their fan base, the people that subscribe to their stuff and go on their site are, you know, hardcore fans, you know, same as the types that would go to The Observer or The Torch, you know, with Keller or Meltzer. So, you know, I obviously, you know, I respect what the casual fan feels and thinks, but also the hardcore fan. So I'm just curious what that fan base that PW Insider placates to or Mike Johnson type reporter fella thinks of what Dana White said. So, and again, we'll get into that in a little bit. You know, I also think that, what do you call it? You know, I was watching, you know, I know we're getting closer to the NFL season, right? So before I say I wanted to think, what I'm not thinking about is this. What I want to say, I should say, I was watching, I've been watching a ton of this coverage, you know, because I'm a big football fan like most of you guys, NFL fan. And, you know, there's all the NFL camps are cranking up now, all the teams. So there's tons of coverage on TV. I'm marked for this stuff. I love this stuff for years. I will jump on ESPN and watch all the coverage or Fox Sports, whoever has it. NFL Network has the past several years, you know, really amps up their coverage. And I even tweeted about this. And it's just so tough for me to gravitate to some of these. Seth, I know you're a big football fan. Jump in here.
Of course.
I mean, I know you're a huge NFL guy like myself. I mean, and don't just agree with me because, you know, I am Taz. You know, I know you don't have to disagree with me, you know. But
well, sure, we know what happens after when we get off the air if I disagree with you. Sure, it's all nicey-nice on here.
Yeah, of course. I'm very nice on here. No, but I got to tell you, man, I'm just really – it's hard to – these hosts, they're just – I don't know if it's – I think it's the host that I can't connect to. I used to love the coverage of this stuff on ESPN and stuff, even NFL, like when Rich Eisen was on the NFL Network.
They make it fun.
Yeah, but the NFL Network, now these hosts are not, they're informed, they're professional, they're very good. I can't connect. Like, for example, it's ex-NFL guy Jamie Dukes, right? He's a color commentator on there, analyst. You know, this guy was in the NFL for years, played for the Falcons, played for the Packers, the Cardinals. He was an offensive lineman. I mean, nothing but respect for the guy. Very articulate, very intelligent man, very well-spoken, very well-schooled, knows what he's talking about. I just, when I see him on there, I just don't care. And the other guy with him, I can't remember his name, the running back, I'm drawing a blank right now, that's with him, ex-running back, I should say. He's very good, too. I don't know what it is. I mean, is it just me? Is it? And I'm missing out on this great camp coverage.
Well, so, you know, since I've been working with you and, you know, and there's a couple other analysts that I've worked with, I've paid more attention to it. And it's generic and it's flat.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, where's the personality? Like, sports is supposed to be fun.
Fun, yeah.
Not
yeah,
that
yeah.
serious, you know? It's serious, you know, the injuries and all that stuff. I'm thinking the game is serious, but the coverage should be fun.
It should be fun. I mean, you watch the NFL today, I mean, not to be a homer on CBS. I think they do a great job, like during the NFL season, the pregame stuff.
ESPN does too.
ESPN does
for
too.
Years.
Obviously, yeah. Well, what's his name?
Berman.
Berman is the man, and right. And Tom Jackson with him for years. And just
they laugh. Every show they laugh.
You know,
yeah.
And then Dick is very funny. And
he's hilarious, and he's the most serious football guy of all.
I know.
Hilarious.
It's great. I mean, I just don't, I don't know. I mean, I watched this, the NFL camp, I'm a huge fan. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me all the time to the Jets camp that was held at Hofstra. I was always a big Jet fan. So we drive out to Long Island and go to the camp. I used to love this time of year. You know, and I love the show Hard Knocks. It's like some fan tweeted me, dude, don't worry. HBO Hard Knocks is coming, and I'm a massive mark for that show. I watched every season, so HBO does an amazing job with Hard Knocks, and I love camp season. You know, I do. I love it. And NFL Network, bless their heart, they're putting the time in, they're putting the money in, they're putting the work ethic in. There's just something I just can't connect to them. I just can't. For me, I just can't.
They have different reporters covering every team on there, because I haven't been really watching the preseason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, you're the opposite of me. So you're not really, you don't care about the preseason, where I do.
I read about it.
Camp season.
I'm getting ready. You know, I'm a big Yankee fan, so I'm all in baseball right now. But I'm getting ready because we got our buddy Mike Tenetis launched his show.
Of course.
Today. So.
Professor Vegas.
Yes, I listened to that on the way in today. We're coming to be here at 4 in the morning.
No doubt. And anybody out there who's a sports, taking action on sports, a sports betting fan, or that likes to take action, as they say, you know, on any sport. I mean, you might want to listen to Mike Tenet's show, Professor Vegas.
He's got two guys in there that are bookmakers in Vegas. One guy for 40 years has been making
it. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
It just bring you right inside.
They know their stuff.
Yeah, they know their stuff. Yeah,
So I'm looking forward to the season on getting some picks, you know, and also definitely getting some help on fantasy.
And that's not a subscription-based show, right? Mike's show's free on the arm.
Just like yours.
Just like mine.
Yeah.
I got to listen to Mike.
Only better.
Only better. Mike's better than me. I love Mike. And he's
Mike's
close.
On. Right.
Dear personal friend of mine. And I'm going to listen, actually, on the way home, I'm listening to Mike's show today. How about that? I will. And it
better.
Did drop today. Yeah, I will better. I will better. That's not good English. Also, on a serious tip, but good news, the great Jerry Lynn. For those that know, Jerry, if you're following online, you know, he's having surgery, I believe. Today's Thursday, right? I believe today. I think it's today, right?
I have to check. I don't know.
I think it's today. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure. And you know, many of us from the wrestling business have been tweeting about to get the word out to you guys, to the fans. Hey, you know, help Jerry out here while he's out of work. I mean, you know, he just needs some help, you know, financially.
Yes, this morning in Nashville.
Yeah.
His neck surgery.
It was this. Okay, good. So hopefully everything's awesome. He had a goal to hit, I think it was either $15,000 or $16,000. It was $15,000, then it went to $16,000 because funds and stuff for, I believe, what's the site is GoFundMe or something.
GoFundMe,
right?
Yeah, correct, yeah. Yep.
So I tweeted about this also and did what I had to do. But the good thing is, I got to say, Jerry, you know, and thanks to people from the wrestling business, wrestlers, whoever, production people, and obviously wrestling fans all over the world, I believe he's at $17,585. So, you know, he smashed, you know, actually I spotted that on PW Insider early this morning. I think Mike Johnson, speaking of Mike, posted it. So that's great news for Jerry Lynn and Jerry's family. I can tell you this about Jerry Lynn. I've had the opportunity to wrestle Jerry, work in ECW for years, and you know, you hear some guys say, "Ah, oh, this guy or this girl was nicest guy, nicest girl ever." That's Jerry. Jerry is like the nicest guy ever. Like, he doesn't belong in the business.
Well, even with this fundraising, the extra money they went over the goal is he's giving it to the rescue mission.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, good point.
Nashville.
Yeah.
So that proves, you know.
Yeah. No, Jerry's just a quality human being.
And for the newer fans, you know, like we talk about, Cena and Owens have this great chemistry wrestling. Go back and watch Jerry Lynn and RVD.
The best.
I mean, talk about chemistry. And once, you know, obviously you guys at ECW, once you saw it, they kept those matches going. And they were
saw it. I had to follow it. Yeah. Okay? You know how hard it was to wrestle after those guys? Oh, my God.
Amazing
a lot of
chemistry.
Times. Well, they were main event. Or sometimes I had to follow. Sometimes they had to follow me. I was easy to follow. I was a one-trick pony. A few suplexes, choke, we're out. You know, cut a promo, survive, and let you see you later. Next. You know, that was my deal. No, but Van Damme and that rivalry of Van Damme and Jerry Lynn, good gosh. Good point for bringing that up.
Go back on the network, and I'm sure it's all over the network.
Great stuff. Or YouTube. You know what I mean? And YouTubes. You know, Jerry is just really a quality human being. Good man. So, very nice of all you guys, from those of us in the business and those outside the business as fans and whatnot, the wrestling, pro wrestling community to support the great Jerry Lynn, and, Godspeed to him. Hopefully he comes back healthy and good to go. Which is kind of a natural segue to the topic here of Dana White, the big shot over at UFC, the whatever the hell his title is, the big, what's his title?
Head honcho, big cheese, numero uno.
Big cheese, right, whatever. Right. So, you know, basically insulting our business several days ago, I think it was Saturday night, before the UFC big pay-per-view. And it's kind of a natural segue. Speaking of someone like Jerry Lynn, whose body is smashed up from this business, where, you know, Jerry has numbness in limbs and hands, and I can relate. Okay, my right hand numb a lot daily. My foot gets numb. You know, my neck from my neck injuries and all this, and there's just lines and lines, I should say, of guys and gals that have bumped and wrestled professionally for years, that have the same problems that myself or Jerry Lynn or worse or less, doesn't matter. So when you do something like Dana White did, he was in an interaction with a fan, and I'll promote the fan's Twitter. The fan was at RKO Rollins. So obviously he's a Randy Orton, Seth Rollins fan. And, you know, he got into this dialogue with this fan and basically said, "Trust me, my friend, it's fake." And alluding to the wrestling business. Well, I jumped on this thing right away. One of you guys tweeted me and said, "What's your opinion on what Dana White said?" I don't follow Dana White. I'm like, what are you talking about? So then I saw it, did a little investigating online, and some of you guys helped me with that, and then realized what he said, and that it wasn't old what he said. It was new. It was that day, and got really hot, because it goes through your brain how your body feels, me, my body. And the repercussions and the negative part of recovering from a career in the pro wrestling business, physically. The amount of concussions and broken bones and stitches throughout my body. And again, I've been fortunate. I'm not as bad as many of my brethren. So that's why I'm talking about someone like Jerry Lynn and seeing what's going on with Jerry and that. And then a Dana White comes out with a comment like that really pisses me off and most of us wrestlers and most of you as pure wrestling fans that respect what we do. And good gosh, Dana White got smashed online. And I think he's still getting smashed, and rightfully so. I came back right at Dana White, tagged him several times, and the first thing I said to him is, "What's fake and what's predetermined?" at Dana White. My body is busted up from that fake shit. You think you train less. And then I went off with a bunch of different other tweets because I really got hotter and hotter as I was reading my own tweet. So what I'm saying about training less, like I just threw it in there because you're on 140 character gimmick. It's a little tough, but you know, because you work just as hard as an MMA fighter, if not harder, because you're working all year round. You're training all year round. You train your ass off, you know, so you have to. And we're not a seasonal business. We don't have three fights a year and we're done. You know, no knock on any MMA guy or UFC guy or pro boxer. Respect all those warriors that get in the ring, male or female. Ain't no doubt about it. But for someone like Dana White to disrespect and then come back and say, no, I respect wrestlers. I just, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're a liar. You're backtracking. You're a hypocrite. You know, but yet, you know, some of your biggest drawing guys, look at Brock Lesnar. I mean, come on. You know, really, I mean, just, you know, guys like Undertaker or Triple H openly supporting Stephanie McMahon, your company. You know, and then he's also talking about just like WWE. Like, he's just talking, like, he just thinks that there's only the WWE. Now, there's tons of people that wrestle
all over
and
the world.
Bump all over the world. All over the world, from independent wrestlers to folks in Japan, the UK, the United States, Canada, out in the West Coast here in the United States, the East Coast, you know, from TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, out in Mexico. I mean, just worldwide. Oh, just WWE. Dana White, learn your shit before you pop off and chirp. You know, and many of us, guys like Bully Ray, guys like Austin Aries, I think Mick Foley, just, I think Seth Rollins, I think a bunch of guys went at him and tagged him. And he never responded to any of us. But wrestling fans, he ripped and drilled. And UFC fans, he drills on a regular basis on his Twitter.
Well, speaking of that, I'm looking at Josh Koscheck. I saw former UFC.
Of course, yeah.
Tough, he was the
Ultimate Fighter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Season one. He just got out of his contract, and this is what he had to say. He said, how can you respect a guy that runs a company and goes on Twitter rants who calls people all the names that he calls people? I think it's childish. He's supposed to be the president of a major company, a billion-dollar company, and that's how he acts? You don't see Roger Goodell doing things like this.
And you don't see Vince McMahon doing things like this.
Right.
And you don't see... you can go on and on. I mean, I think he's just trying to be controversial and edgy and curse and be a tough guy because he's surrounded around tough guys and girls. Okay, Dana White, you box for a cup of coffee. Okay, and you're around tough guys all the time. Don't mean you're tough. Okay, and you want to sit there and disrespect, you know, what we've done. Shame on you. And it's just unprofessional, uncalled for. And he knocked the WWE, and he basically was about the WWE Network, because he said, well, it's $9.99 a month. Well, it's fake. That's why. I think that's what the dialogue he was in with the at Seth Rollins fan, whatever the guy was.
Meanwhile, I'm sure they're looking into a network themselves.
I think they had something. I'm not a huge, gigantic UFC guy now. I'm less of a UFC guy now, to the point of that night, that fight. I wanted to watch Rousey fight. I wanted to watch her fight. I didn't, and I'm a fan of hers. I didn't watch her fight. I mean, you know, because I'm not going to spend my fake money on that show. And this guy turned off a plethora of wrestling fans by his comment on fight day. Why is out of the United States doing this?
He might be a little nervous that he'll be losing Ronda in a few years to the WWE.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know.
He's building her up, and they're just and she's going to be gone.
Yeah, she's going to be. And it's like... You know, and rightfully so. And, you know, to her credit, she dedicated her fight to the great memory of the great, you know, Roddy Piper. And
she's awesome.
Yeah, she is awesome. And, you know, I'm just saying, and all of those fighters are awesome. And, I, you know, I was even tweeting something like about, you know, because I got into this whole thing. I was going crazy on Twitter because I just was so angry reading some of this guy's other tweets. Like, this Dana White, he just rips his own fans, his own customers that pay his salary. This guy makes millions of dollars. You know, and it just calls people morons and jerk. Look, I get Twitter hate all the time. You know, and sometimes I'll come back at someone, I'll zing someone. You know what? Or just block them. Or sometimes, you know, I just ignore them. And a lot of us do. But you can't just...
Money doesn't buy class.
No, it doesn't. And it's... Someone tweeted that too from the business. Something like that.
It's true.
Who was that?
Have respect.
God, I'm drawing a blank right now.
They're all athletes, you know. Wrestling came out as predetermined a while ago now. How long has it been since that happened?
Oh, God. This fan tweeted me the other day, right, during this thing on Saturday.
He says, you know, Kevin Nash calls wrestling fake all the time. Well, that got me mad. Not at Kevin Nash. I tweeted at that person. Kevin Nash can call it, meaning the business, whatever he wants. He paid dues. He bumped and sacrificed for years. Dana White didn't and couldn't.
I like what you said to that. And then yeah. You said CM Punk, the same thing.
CM Punk. Listen, look, you get a gigantic pass, okay? When you can say the F word, you can call our business fake if you did our business. If you choose to do that, and that's your prerogative, I don't care, man or woman, from the wrestling business, if in my view, this is my show, this is my views, okay? In my view, if you went out, humped the road, paid your dues, busted your body up, and you could call this business whatever you want. I might not agree with you. I might not agree with Punk or Nash if they feel like that. I would never publicly knock them for their comments. They've earned the right to call our business whatever they want to call it.
I think some people use that word as a generalization, and it's not right.
It's not right.
There's a difference.
And dude, you're right. And I'm telling you, Seth, over like, I don't know, 26 years, whatever it is.
I don't think they mean disrespect, but they are.
They don't. And I correct people whenever they say it to me. Family members, when I first, oh, yeah. And I'm like, no. And you have to correct them because, you know, you've seen that the PSA by the WWE for many years, you know, the injuries are very real and the life.
Cena's nose.
Of course. I mean, and that's the thing. People were coming at Dana White, showing him photos. Austin Aries had a picture of him just bleeding like crazy. I mean, of himself and saying, I'm not reading this tweet, but something. Well, Bully Ray went at him hard. I mean, a bunch of guys and people, fans were sending pictures of wrestlers beat up of Joey Mercury from recently with Raw, with the ladder hitting him in the face.
I remember that.
And so this jabroni, you know, Dana White sees all this. Look, Dana White, I hope you hear, listen to this. I really do. And you might laugh, chuck it off, whatever, because you're sitting around, you're a millionaire, multimillionaire. And good for you. That's great. That's great. And I'm not knocking you for what you do. I don't really know what you do. I don't know what makes you good at what you do. I don't care what makes you good at what you do. Okay, but I know what I did. And I know what made me good at what I did. And my brothers and sisters out there that do it too. Okay, and I take massive offense to that, what you said, how you handled it, and the disrespect towards the great industry and the art form and our craft of sports entertainment and professional wrestling. Okay, shame on you, dude. And if I ever get the chance to meet you, Dana White, I'll tell you to your face. Okay, and I will tell you to your face, and I promise I will. Okay, so, and they'll never get another dime from me, UFC, never, because of his comments. Some would say, well, you know, Taz, you've made mistakes. You've said the wrong thing. You've maybe tweeted something that wasn't cool. Yeah, I have. But I have not insulted, you know, a whole genre of men and women or fan base and stuff like that. I think you got to be accountable for that when you're the president of a gigantic company like a UFC. You got to be accountable. You can't say, I didn't mean it like that. People took, he said something, I'm paraphrasing now, so I'll defend Dana White on that. I'm just going to paraphrase this. Seth, he also said something like, I didn't offend wrestlers. I went at the fans. I respect wrestlers.
Yeah, I respect them.
Do you not realize how hypocritical of a statement that is? Like, how do you respect wrestlers when you just, and then it was like, either him or another fan. There's only so many characters on Twitter. A fan said that, not Dana White. Yeah, he had plenty of characters left. he typed the word fake. He had plenty of characters. Predetermined is the PC way that we like it. And then there are those that say, you guys are too hypersensitive. What are you getting so pissed about? Blow it off. What do you care? You know what I care? Okay, what I care is when I get out of my car that I got to be careful how I step. Because my foot falls asleep because I have nerve damage. And I care that I can't take a screwdriver and screw a screw with my right hand. That I can't take a lacrosse stick and have a catch with my son because my right hand gets numb so fast that I can't feel a stick in my hand to have a catch with my teenage son. Okay, those are things that I care about. That my body is smashed to hell. That if I go to a gym and try to work out, I can't train like I used to train. I try to get in the shape I used to be in, and it's very difficult because my body just breaks down faster. I care because I am living the effects of what this business can do to you. I have no regrets. I am not ashamed of it. I am proud of it. I would do it all over again. I'm not bitching and moaning. When you get into this, you know what you're getting into. You know you're going to be away from your family. You know your body's going to get banged up. You know you're going to be arthritic. You know you're going to break bones. And I've done all that. And I got stitches throughout my body. Okay? And for someone like him, at the level he's at in the combat sport world, as a forefront guy, you know, you got to be careful what you say.
You have to have respect.
And that's not respectful. And I'm obviously still pissed off about it in the days later. So, you know, some of you might, or that are huge MMA fans and huge UFC fans, you might be, you know, pissed at me for my commentary here. I don't care. I'm just giving you my thoughts and opinions. I respect all those fighters in any MMA company from UFC down. All of them.
Any combat sport.
Any of them. I respect them. I've rolled. I've been in a gi. I know what it's like to train. I know what it's like to compete in a tournament. Okay, I've done this. I know that. I know how much I respect the MMA world. I toot my own horn here. I kind of brought that to the forefront in the pro wrestling business as a hybrid. Okay, before a lot of guys did. Okay, because of my respect towards the MMA world. So this is not about me knocking fighters, MMA guys, or gals. Not about that at all. It's about knocking this guy who's a jabroni, who just comes out and disrespects and chirps about it to be cool and controversial and be angry and curse and act like a tough guy, okay? And just to create buzz. Oh, he's trying to create buzz, Taz, because his fight is tonight. UFC fight's tonight. And I said, I tweeted about that too. Like, what are you creating buzz on, dude? You're not creating buzz around any of the fights.
Ronda doesn't need the buzz anyway.
No.
Ronda is buzz.
Correct. She's class, okay? He's creating buzz around him.
Right.
So it's about him, and I put pencilitis, hashtag pencilitis. Some might not know what that means. It's the Booker's disease. It's the Booker that would write himself as the champion, you know, like that type of thing. He's putting himself over. He's got like, the dude's got like over 3 million followers on Twitter. You know, it's amazing. And I'm not saying all he does is disrespect his fans. I'm sure there's some positive stuff he says to his fans. You know, and is he a polarizing character? No doubt about it. Is Dana White charismatic? Absolutely. Is he the right guy to be the you know, your head, your hood ornament from a corporate standpoint in the UFC? Obviously he is. It's working. Do I think that, you know, the people who own the company like that he's controversial and he's got this no shit guy attitude? I think they do like that. Okay? And I think he pulls no punches because that's who they want him to be. And that's his gimmick because he's working. Because of one, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I respect all the WWE guys, all wrestlers. No, you don't. Because if you did, you shouldn't have said what you said.
Only the ones that can make him money.
Well, correct. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. And I got to tell you the truth. I was a little taken aback that, and maybe because they didn't realize, I think, I don't know if it was Triple H's Twitter account or Stephanie McMahon. There was a picture of them, you know, wearing Ronda Rousey shirts with their trainer, DeFranco, in a gym. All three of them wearing the shirts, which is cool. They're friends with Ronda. I think that's great. But they kind of promoted the fight that night, you know, the pay-per-view, which I think is cool. It shows the confidence in the WWE, confidence in Triple H and Stephanie and the McMahon family and the WWE. And they should have the confidence. So they're okay.
And the relationship with
Ronda.
And
the relationship with Ronda, of course. But I got to tell you, they might not have known that Dana White tweeted. I don't know. I think the timing was kind of close when they tweeted this photo. I could be off on the timeline here, so
maybe
I apologize.
We're all being worked, and Dana's going to be at WrestleMania.
He ain't going to be at no WrestleMania. So he ain't going to be at no
Stranger
WrestleMania.
Things have happened.
Stranger things have happened, but he don't need the money. He don't need the promotion. He don't need.
Neither did Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump, yeah, that's a little bit different. That might be the next president of the United States, Donald Trump. How would that go down?
Former WrestleMania guy.
How would you feel if he was Donald Trump was the next president? Make a lot of friends, I'll tell you that.
I think there are worse people. I'm not saying I'm going to vote for him, but
this is not a political show. Yes. But this,
hey, at least he's mixing it up a little bit. He's making it WWE style.
Well,
you know?
He sure is, bro.
Because all these other guys all say the same crap over and over, year after year, and he's saying something different.
Yeah, no, he's different, all right. He's different. That doesn't mean it's good, but he's different.
Yeah, I don't agree with insulting millions of people.
No,
with statements.
I don't even think he knows what he's saying. He's just babbling. But anyway, so that's my deal on that. On Dana White, we're not done talking about him here on this show, because like I said, on the other side of the break, we're gonna have Mike Johnson from PW Insider I want to get his thoughts and opinions on what White tweeted, see what Mike thinks, and what his followers and fans of PW Insider say. A lot of you are listening to this show that are fans of PW Insider, so I want to see what they think. And also, I saw that, what was it, last night, NXT, they had a pretty good show, right? I don't know, they had Rhino wrestled Joe, right?
Yep.
And Joe won the match. It was a pretty good match. I saw most of the match. I was kind of out of pocket a little bit yesterday. I went to the beach, man. I live right near the beach, right? So we went. We don't usually go at nights. So we went at night just to chill, you know, brought
some s'mores.
No, we didn't do s'mores. We actually brought some good deli near us. We brought good deli food over there. There's good tables. Chill out. Chilled on the beach a little bit. Like, you know, I should be watching all these wrestling matches, these shows, and I'm not. I'm just chilling on the beach. But, you know, I'm right down the road, so from the beach, I got to go, you know, at night.
It's the summer.
It's the summertime. I usually go over there in the day, and I'm running around like a maniac, throwing a frisbee. Sit there with the frisbee. I throw the frisbee. That's a big frisbee guy, volleyball on the beach. You can pitch that, right?
Lefty?
I'm not lefty. I'm righty.
Yeah, but you got right-hand issues, so I thought maybe you learned how to use lefty.
Yeah, no. I don't throw the frisbee. I'm joking. That was funny. That was very good. No, but anyway, I was going to say about this kid, Ooh-Ha Nation.
Ooh-Ha.
Right? Ooh-Ha Nation.
I got you all in check.
Ooh-Ha, yeah, man. Ooh-Ha. Yeah, he's got a new name now with NXT. He's, what's that? Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews.
That's pretty cool.
It's kids, half Apollo Creed, half Terry Crews.
Yes. He's going to debut at NXT in Brooklyn, which should be big for this kid. And very talented. Got trained by Mr. Hughes. No, Curtis Hughes, one of the better big men in the business back in the day. Curtis Hughes, former football player at Kansas State, I believe. Yeah,
wow.
Not Kansas, Kansas State. Kansas State. Yeah, Kansas State was a hell of a football player for Kansas State.
Big dude, man.
Mr. Hughes, yeah. I've been in the ring with him, no doubt.
He had a little ECW. That's right.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. No, there for quite some time. So Apollo Crews will be his new name. I mean, he had his success. He's working about 5-6 years or so, this kid. You know, Dragon Gate did really well. Dragon Gate, you know, and wrestled all over the world already, this kid. You know, he's young, put together. I mean, really put together. I've watched him work. I mean, super athletic. I don't know if he has a gymnastic background or something, man. But
yeah, you mentioned him to me, so I checked him out. He's very
legit. Great dropkick. AJ Styles-esque dropkick. That good.
High praise.
Yeah, for real. His dropkick's real good. Leapfrog ability. Muscular guy. He's a big dude. I mean, he's put together. And super athletic. I think he's going to be a big star in NXT, segueing to WWE. That's my prediction.
Definitely different from anyone else in NXT right now.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to have some great matches with a lot of the great talent in NXT, because there's tons of great talent there. So we shall see. So just wanted to point that out. And
you mentioned Joe, too. I think, you know, initially they had him facing off against Kevin Owens, and then he's been having some kind of mid-card matches. I'm waiting as a fan. I want to see him. You know, let's go. Let's see him go against some of the bigger names in the NXT.
Could be that they're trying to just make a couple changes, maybe just some tweaks, some things they might want him to try with his work, you know, in the ring. So they want him to wrestle some other guys first. It could be. It looks like his body, Joe's body, changed a little bit. Looks like he's definitely cut some weight. He looks more muscular.
You look like you cut some weight.
Well, you know, I don't want to brag, but yeah. Yeah, I do about 2 hours of cardio a day. Lie. No. I'm just trying to eat better. I eat a lot of fruit. Big into the fruit. I like the nectarines, and I like the grapes. You eat it, and then you spend the morning in the bathroom. You know, that's the deal. But I digress.
Okay.
Yes, no, so...
sorry I said something.
No, but Joe definitely looks great. I mean, he looks great. I mean, he looks leaner across his shoulder griddle and chest area. Looks more muscular. I think
working out with Billy Gunn.
Yeah, he might be. Billy Gunn is just looks great. He always looks great, Billy. The guy's been... He's ageless, timeless, whatever the hell expression is. I mean, so, you know, it's interesting. So, I think Joe, I'm excited to see once Joe gets to the main roster there, what kind of buzz that is. That's going to be great, because you see the success Kevin Owens is having, you know, all the guys. I mean, just when they're coming up, they're doing the right thing. WWE's grooming guys the right way.
And you talked about on our fantasy show, like when Finn gets there, too, to see that entrance.
Finn's the man, bro.
In a big arena.
No doubt.
It's gonna be
exciting. Becky Lynch, look how great she's doing. And Charlotte. I mean, Sasha Banks. I mean, just, I'm telling you, the formula of that, of NXT and the training and grooming the talent and taking guys or gals that even been working and re-grooming them, it's just perfect what they're doing in NXT.
They're giving them confidence, because you, Sasha Banks, her character is awesome.
She's
great. Her attitude and the way she talks, the way she goes on the mic.
She's the boss.
It's great.
She's the boss.
I love it.
Yeah, no, she's great. No doubt.
A lot of fun.
Becky Lynch, though, that's my girl. She's popping off suplexes left and right.
little T-bone action.
Yeah, oh, bro. Yeah, don't expect the WWE announcers to give me any praise on any suplexes because I think they're afraid to say anything. Don't mention Taz's name, God forbid.
Yeah, and Randy, no. Randy's doing your T-bone.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I heard a DDP once talking about, you know, because RKO is very similar to the Diamond Cutter.
Of course.
It's the same exact thing. Yeah. And he said he talked to Randy once. He said, yeah, that's cool. Because Randy had mentioned it, and Randy goes, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, like, he forgot.
I was like, nah, Randy's great. I love Randy. I tweeted at somebody that asked me, hey, what do you think about Randy Orton doing T-Bone? I'm flattered. Randy's one of the greatest workers of the modern day era. I mean, going to go down to one of the greatest ever. Huge fan of him personally and professionally. Yeah, Randy's great.
It was cool he had the Hot Rod shirt on, too, on
very,
Raw.
Very good. That surprising.
I'm sure he's known him since he's a little boy.
Of course.
Cowboy and Ronnie were running partners.
Randy knows. Randy's the third-generation guy. Got nothing but respect for the business. And, like I said, ultra-talented guy, hence the success that Randy Orton's had and continuing to have. But Becky Lynch can pop off some legit suplexes. That's all I'm saying. Very impressed with that chick's hip movement, her clasping ability, how quick she does the throws. Very talented. Very, very impressed with her. I just think she's obviously having great success early in her career right now. It's going to keep on growing. So
put a lot of life.
A lot
of life into that Divas division now.
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing that Stephanie did with the Divas Revolution, it's great. It's great stuff. It uplifts all the girls. The Bellas, all of them. They all just, it
brings everyone.
It really does. It just makes it better. All right, look, enough of that. Going to take a quick break. Be right back. Coming back on the other side of this break with Mike Johnson from PW Insider. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with the warm, cuddly, fuzzy Taz.
Baseball's in full swing, and you can be part of all the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. So daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait until the end of the season to get paid when you can get huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every single time you play. Here's the deal. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and just pick up your cash. Really, that's it. Just ask this dude, Peter, from Colorado. Last year, bro, he won $1 million in one day simply playing fantasy baseball at DraftKings. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. So here's the deal. New contests start daily, so hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use the promo code TAZ, that's Taz, to play for free today. $10,000 in fantasy baseball contest. DraftKings.com, official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter TAZ. Free entry now. DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right. Welcome back to the Human Podcast Machine. With me, Taz, we got Seth, my producer, dipping in and out. And also, as promised, our guest in this particular show from PW Insider, Mike Johnson, giving his thoughts and opinions. I want to get your thoughts and opinions. Mike, hello, first of all.
How are you, sir?
Good, buddy. Good, not bad. Thanks for jumping on. And I want to get your thoughts, views, opinions, and even, what the fans of PW Insider, because you obviously placate you and Dave Shearer, the whole site, to the hardcore fan for the most part, right? So the educated fan. So mm-hmm. I want to kind of get your feedback on this whole Dana White thing and that what he said about our business, calling it the F word, fake, and disrespecting it and being hypocritical, yada, yada.
Well, you know, my first reaction was, I understood, I guess he felt he was being sort of challenged by a fan on Twitter. And my first reaction was, you have a pay-per-view that's going to be airing globally, and you're in another country, and this is what you're worrying about? I was like, I can't imagine, like, Vince McMahon, like, it's WrestleMania Day.
No.
And he's on Twitter arguing with somebody over TNA.
No.
You know? Like, it wouldn't have happened.
No. So, I got to tell you this. A lot of people, I know you probably either thought this or heard it, I'm sure, but thinking that he was just doing this to kind of hype the pay-per-view, and it could be, you know, the Eric Bischoff controversy creates cash thing, which is partially true, but what I was saying earlier was he wasn't, there wasn't hype around his fighters, about any of the fighters. It was just controversy around his personal stupid views and comments.
Yeah, I think he was just blowing off steam, and I think it, and this happens at times where he'll interact with people, and if he doesn't like what they're saying, he just shoots them down in like a really sort of rude way, and I think that's what he was trying to do. I think he sort of had this knee-jerk reaction, not realizing that the ripple effect of it was by saying the F word, as you said, he would be disrespecting someone like you or disrespecting the wrestling industry in general, because the reality is he's not a dumb guy, and he realizes that had Spike TV at the time not put Ultimate Fighter after Raw every week, they would not have built that brand back to what it was. UFC was kind of dead in the water when Zuffa bought it, and the Ultimate Fighter coming on after Raw, they kind of were able to, you know, pick up the WWE audience.
Well, it was, to your point, it was an amazing lead-in.
Yeah, it was a brilliant lead-in. I think if you could go back in time, I don't think Vince McMahon would have approved it. I think Vince would have said no if he could go back in time, because he probably wouldn't have wanted them cannibalizing the pay-per-view audience, much less the TV audience. You know, I mean, you can say what you want about wrestling. The reality is you're banged up because of what you did in the industry. There's a lot of guys. I was at the Mid-Atlantic Legends reunion over the weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina.
How was that? That had to be pretty cool.
Oh, it was awesome. You know, it's always great to go down there, you know, and you get to see it, you know. But Harley Race is in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Ivan Koloff is walking with a lot of pain, and you can see when he gets up and he gets down. And, you know, if the F word, as you say, was in play, you know, these gentlemen would not be in the physical condition that they're in. You know, and the reality is, you know, as I would often say to my friends, you don't fake gravity. Right. Gravity doesn't get faked. Right. It's as real as anything you see in a Broadway show or in a movie. It's, you know, obviously everybody's working to entertain the audience, but at the same time, the effects of the physicality and the violence are very, very real. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why pro wrestlers are so phenomenal at what they do, is the ability to take that punishment in order to entertain someone else and fill a void that they have in their lives by making them sort of forget about their problems and their world for a couple of hours while they're, you know, watching the world of professional wrestling. It's one of the things that I've always liked about it. So, I mean,
let me ask you a question. Like, I know you've been around the industry and studied the industry. You are, it's not an overstatement to say you are a bona fide expert. And there are several guys like you, not many, that are considered experts. So I'm asking you that and I'll put you over for a reason. What age did you start really hooking into the business as a fan? And what age, if you can remember, did you start to realize that respect towards wrestlers and what the people, the guys and gals that bump in that ring, how they get they're very hypersensitive, borderline violent to when, you know, someone disrespects the craft?
I started watching when I was 12. I told the story on the site this week. I actually tried to stay up late one night to watch Saturday Night Live. It was like the height of Eddie Murphy, and I fell asleep. And when I woke up, you know, as irony has it, I heard Roddy Piper screaming at Mr. T. And I was like, who is this guy, and how could he – why is B.A. Baracus not beating him up? Like, you know, in your 12-year-old eyes, you think Mr. T is the toughest guy in the world.
Yeah, of course.
And I was enamored by Piper, and I started watching. You know, it didn't take me long to figure out what was going on here, you know, where, all right, well, he's throwing him into the ropes. The guy just happens to turn around and come back. Like, you know, even at 12 years old, you kind of get an idea. But,
yeah.
I mean, by the time I was, like, 14, 15, not that I ever thought, like, oh, you know, it's all just a show and it's just a bunch of guys playing. I never looked at it that way, because I always thought it was like, you know, to me, I always looked at wrestling, and I didn't realize what it was at the time, but it was kind of the precursor to reality TV. It was a manipulated environment with larger than life characters, which, if you look at all the great reality TV shows, that's kind of what they are.
Yeah.
And to me, like, by the time I was like 14, 15, I realized that, you know, what these guys were doing was something amazing. But when I really had respect, was when I started to understand how great the touring process was.
Yeah.
You know, especially in that era, guys, you know, the WWF was running three shows a night, and guys, you know, guys like Hogan and Orndorff, who were main eventers, would go and work like a place like Chicago, and they'd work the first half of the show and then get on a plane and go to another market and get there for the main event. And you think about the craziness of that. Like, to me, that's when I really started going, I understand why guys were so protective of it, because they were putting so much of their body into it,
right,
and so much of their time. And, you know, you think about how many people, and even yourself, you know, there were times you were away from your family,
oh,
when your son was growing up. And you know, there's an emotional ringer that everybody goes through. To me, by the time I was, like, in high school, I understood how important and how deep the commitment was, both emotionally and mentally and physically. And to me, especially for me coming from, like, a theatrical background where I worked in film and TV at different points in Broadway, to me it was no different than those sort of performances.
Yeah.
So you would never disrespect someone who goes on a Broadway stage,
no,
and go, what you do is all garbage, it's all pretend, you know? And to me it's the same thing with wrestling, except in wrestling, they don't say stop, and then the stuntman takes over.
No. And there's also, excuse me, there's a handful of people that'll say, of course, via their Twitter machine, because everybody's a tough guy behind their, Twitter account.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, keyboard warriors, exactly. No, but even that deal, you get a couple people say, why are you guys whining? Stop whining. Well, stop whining. Look, to be frank, when you get into this business as a wrestler, say, you know what, I want to be a professional wrestler. For the most part, you pretty much know, even back when I broke in, I knew that my body would get banged up. I knew that I could end up being arthritic with a lot of injuries by the time I was 45 years old. I knew that, I would be away from my potential family before I had, a family, a wife and kid and all. I knew all those things would happen. So you kind of know the drill and know what you're getting into before you do it. Most guys and gals that do this know that. And that's cool. And we take that on the chin. That's part of the job. We know that. But for somebody who is an outsider, okay, I don't care how many millions you have, I don't care that you think you're a tough guy because you're around fighters all the time with MMA guys. That don't mean anything to me, okay? That doesn't give you the right to talk in any ill way about what we do. And then he goes on his Twitter machine, Dana White, and buries and shoots on all the wrestling fans, buries them as a whole, but all of the boys that are talking to him and tagging his Twitter, he don't have the nuts to come back at us. See,
I agree with you on that. And you saw, I think he just did it in the moment and didn't think about the ripple effect.
What are you, friends with this guy or something?
No. I'm saying, because if you noticed a couple of days later, he pointed out, I respect wrestlers and I didn't respect wrestling. I was just talking trash to that one guy.
Yeah.
But I think he realized and was like, I need to backtrack here.
Yes, he put his foot in his mouth.
Absolutely put his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, because he, to your point, and I noticed on his Twitter too, because I don't follow the guy, and then I once a fan said, hey, what's your thoughts on what Dana White said? I'm like, and then I read about it. I'm like, look at this son of a bitch. You got to be kidding me. And then I got hot, I mean, I'm sitting in my yard smoking a cigar, and I'm angry. I want to relax, Mike. I don't want to get angry in my yard. I don't.
I get you. The dumb thing for him was, who was his biggest draw ever? Brock Lesnar.
Of course.
Yeah. And who did he sign without one fight?
Punk.
CM Punk.
Punk.
So it's like, why would you disrespect guys who are made you a lot of money, or B, hopefully will make you a lot of money.
Right, and you know what? You got less. I agree. And look at Ronda Rousey. She is a huge wrestling fan. Obviously, she dedicated her fight in a classy way to Piper and her name and all that. And you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, she's your number one fighter, I would think, right?
Yeah, she's the Mike Tyson of UFC right now.
No
she's
doubt.
Their draw.
No doubt.
She goes out, they're in big trouble, because what they're left with are a bunch of main eventers who never seem to get to the main event fights without it getting injured and having the fights postponed for 6 or 9 months.
Yeah.
Which is their biggest problem.
Yeah. I just to me, like, I understand people make mistakes, people say things, but you got to be accountable, especially when you're the head honcho of this monster multi-million dollar company, okay? You can't just go out there and just tweet that and then just say, you know what? I was mad. It was a heat of the moment. Come on. Well, I mean, look, people say things, they make mistakes, and then some people pay heavy for them. What are you going to do? You're not going to put this guy in jail for that. This is his opinion. He was angry. He was shooting on a fan. Okay, great. But you know what? He's got to have... He never put out, like, did he put out, like, an official apology, Mike? Was it, like, an official thing?
No, somebody responded to him, and somebody, like, kind of took him to task, and he wrote back. I respect wrestlers. I respect wrestling. I was just talking trash. And he was like, it was just these are the people talking trash this week. This week it's wrestling fans. Next week it'll be something else.
Yeah, he said something like he insults groups all the time.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's a great way to make money.
Yeah, you know what? I get that, but you know, it comes off very hypocritical on his part. You know, I don't know. I mean, you see, great workers and successful men like The Undertaker, obviously publicly a big UFC fan. He'll go sit in the crowd and watch a fight. You know, Taker's an old school guy. I mean, who knows if Taker will do that again?
Yeah.
For me, I didn't spend the money on that fight. I wouldn't do it. I wanted to watch her fight. I didn't do it. I'm not giving that son of a bitch any of my money, my fake money. I'm not giving him any of my fake money. Not doing it.
Don't give me your fake money, Taz.
Give him my fake money. Not going
to get to 1:30 though to see that fight. The fight didn't go off till 1:30 in the morning.
I go to bed late sometimes. I'm not that old. I can stay up till 2. I don't turn into a pumpkin. Hey, let me ask you this, Mike. What were your fans like? Your fan base of PW Insider, because you know your fans are passionate. You know the fans that site. You're very passionate. Give me some feedback from them. Like, I'm sure you got some private emails from them. Like, give me some of that stuff.
Yeah, they were all mad. Like, a lot of people got bent out of shape, not because he said it, but how dare he say it? Like, who is he to say it? And without wrestling, UFC wouldn't have become as popular as it is. And how could he disrespect CM Punk? How could he disrespect Lesnar? And he's had everybody, from Triple H on The Undertaker at these shows. Why would he say such a thing and slap everybody across the face? And I really believe he didn't think about what he said. And that's the problem with Twitter, You go on Twitter, and it's happened to me, and look, it's happened to Hulk Hogan, it's happened to a lot of guys. You go on there in the heat of the moment, you write something, and you go, oh. And sometimes when you write something, you write it in a way in your head, and you're thinking it, and you're not thinking about how others who are not in your mindset are going to receive it and read your words. And it happens. And, there's been times I've had to go on Twitter and say, you know what, this is not the way I want to present myself. I misspoke. I apologize. And I think that's what happened with Dana. But you know what? I think the lesson he needs to learn here is, one, don't bite the hand that feeds you, because you don't want to ever turn off a sizable portion of your audience. Right. No matter what he thinks about wrestling, there's a large group of wrestling fans who are also MMA fans.
Of course.
And two, perhaps when you're about to run a major show, the last thing you should be doing is talking trash with somebody on Twitter and potentially destroying your own brand. And I mean, he's always been a guy who's kind of just said whatever he thought. And, yeah, listen, when you're the king, you can do that.
That's what I want to say, Mike. Hold on. But see, that's the thing. This guy's not humble. The last thing this guy is humble. And that's his whole gimmick. He wants to be a tough guy. He drops the F-bomb every chance he can get. You watch the, he was doing the Ultimate Fighter. I would watch that when it first came out. And they'd have him, in between segments, during segments of the show. And they'd have it on camera, him saying stuff off camera, not looking at the camera. And he's cursing like crazy, just in a studio, just sitting there, just to curse. And that makes the audio guy, the production end, a nightmare to drop out all that cursing. But he did it and does it just to be edgy and crazy, and he just says what he wants and all this stuff, and that's Dana White. He's a tough guy. Why is he a tough guy? He was a shitty boxer, and he's just hanging around a bunch of real tough guys and gals, so that makes him a tough guy because he signs them to contracts so he could just say what he wants. I mean, he's not humble, dude. He's just not.
No, he's definitely not. And the scary thing about that is, he's supposed to be directing an entire genre of fighting, an entire combat sport. And, when guys aren't humble, sooner or later, it bites them in the rear end and they collapse. I mean, look at the Hulk Hogan situation.
Yep.
You're
right. And I can tell you this about Vince McMahon personally. A lot of people think they know Vince, and they would think Vince McMahon's not humble. You'd be surprised. I've heard that man say words. I've heard him in production meetings, agent meetings, on his airplane. I've heard him say things that I know he actually is very humble. And he's been through a lot. Vince, if you watch his Twitter, he or whoever runs his Twitter does it the right way. Same with Triple H. They're not going to make those mistakes as leaders of the pack, as front office folks and big-time management owners, CEOs, whatever titles you want to give. You know, Dana White, he's the guy, right, in UFC. And he just, that edgy thing and that whole, that he's a crazy man, he just curses, says what he wants. I'm shocked no one has lit this guy up yet. I got to be honest.
Yeah, you know what? It may happen one day, and I think what we learned from all this is he needs to hire somebody to run his Twitter. Or at least he should be telling someone what to put on there so they can go, maybe we shouldn't do that in this sort of way.
Why do you cut promos and curse out people that are
your audience? Yeah,
customers.
Why do... At the end of the day, they're selling a product just like a wrestling company is. They want to sell T-shirts. They want to sell their licensing. They want to sell their fighters. They want to sell the fights. None of that sells the fights. And to me, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what the entertainment entity is, it's all about selling tickets. It's all about selling pay-per-views. It's about selling the attraction. That's not selling the attraction. No one's going to go to Disney World if the guy running it is like, the hell with you people who like Universal Studios.
Right, we're all a bunch of idiots.
You're
mad that there's a line for Space Mountain? Get the hell out of here. Go to Great Adventure.
Exactly. it doesn't translate well.
Bro, Great Adventure. Mike, I know you've been there in Jersey back in the day, right?
Yeah. we've all had those moments.
You're from the Northeast. You know Great Adventure.
That's it.
Six Flags.
Jackson, New Jersey.
Six Flags. Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you popping on, and I know you got a lot of stuff to do today. You're always doing something, and your site, you and Dave, how many people do you guys basically have working for the site?
There's like five or six of us. Dave and I are the full-timers, and we got a bunch of other really good people who fill out the staff and help us out with different things, and you know, we got a lot of guys and gals who have a lot of really good work ethic, and we're very blessed with our staff.
That's awesome, man.
Hey, and Mike, I'm looking for a quick scoop from you. Where's Austin Aries going? Do you have any insight on that?
He just came back to Ring of Honor, and this won't be the last time you see him in TNA, especially if you watch some of those one night only pay per views, because he did return to film a couple of appearances after the show that aired last night.
Yeah, so. See, Seth doesn't read the spoilers. Actually, Seth doesn't read.
No, Seth doesn't read. That's why he does radio.
Tess is helping me.
Teach him how to read. He's getting there.
All right. There you go.
So the spoilers. There you go. That's nice, Mike. You gave the spoilers. So good job. way to go, Mike.
Sorry, guys. He asked the question. I answered it.
You did. I'm teasing. All right, bro. Look, I appreciate you coming on. You'll be coming on again soon, I'm sure, with us.
Anytime you guys want me.
The invitation is always there. All right, brother. I appreciate it, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
See you, bud.
You know, Taz, FYI. I can read.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody knows that. When everybody thinks of Seth, you think about a reading guru. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. Thoughts and opinions for myself. Seth chimed in, obviously, with his thoughts and opinions, too, meaning on the Dana White comments and idiocy. That's a word, right, Seth? Idiocy?
Yes, that's a word.
Good. And obviously, Mike Johnson. You took my ding. And then Mike Johnson, obviously, thank you to him for jumping on and giving his views, thoughts, opinions, and whatnot on the Dana White stuff. Appreciate it. I'll be coming at you again next week with a couple more shows. I'm Taz. You're not. See ya.